Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and it is the second Sunday of Advent, December 9th, 2018, and we're really glad you're with us here today. You know, the weather's a little bit chilly and seems a little bit gloomy as we're slowly but surely lighting the candles on our Advent wreaths, and some beautiful stories about the Advent wreath that I heard one that stands for the 4,000 years. Each candle represents 1,000 years to the coming of Christ. And for our and just so much beauty, you know. And Hanukkah starts tomorrow, and for our Jewish brothers and sisters. And so it is just a beautiful time of the year, a time for us to really reflect upon our faith, reflect upon the things of the world. I also heard something just so beautiful just the other day too, that you know, it's not what I am getting for Christmas, but what am I giving for Christmas? And this is the transformation, my brothers and sisters. This is what being a Christian is all about, is becoming like Christ. And it's very difficult. Very difficult. It has to do with a life of prayer, a life of surrender, a life of getting rid of all the vice in our lives, getting rid of all of the vices that we think make us happy but only bring us emptiness. And sometimes it takes our whole lifetime. So don't be ashamed, my brothers and sisters. Don't be ashamed of the things that you've done in the past. Ask for forgiveness and start life anew. St. Paul, many of the great saints have walked the path of wretchedness before reaching the path of righteousness. And so do not be ashamed. Come to Christ. Come to this child, Jesus, who will be laid in this manger here in a little over 3 weeks, and a little over 2 weeks, actually, because now we're in our second week of Advent, and just a little over 2 weeks from now, and that's hard to believe. It's coming upon us so quickly. But I ask you, my brothers and sisters, think about the scriptures. Think about coming back to church. Whatever church you went to when you were a child, go there this Christmas. Go there this Christmas. Rediscover your faith. And of course, for me, as a deacon in the Catholic Church, I want everyone to be Catholic. You know, I want everyone to enjoy the fullness of the faith, the fullness of all the sacraments. Baptism, Eucharist, reconciliation. All of these beautiful sacraments in the church, the sacrament of marriage, the sacrament of holy orders, and the sacrament of healing. So we, and the sacrament of confirmation. This extra indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But let us go right into the scripture readings today. And, but I want you to think about Advent. I want you to think about this coming of the Lord. That the Lord is coming once again to you and to me, to our homes, to our cities, to our towns and villages. And not to look at things in such a negative way. There's always negative things. There always will be. There will always be problems within the church. There will always be problems in our communities. There will always be people who are great sinners and people who are great saints. And then there are all those that are kind of in between, trying to be one or the other. So we ask for the Holy Spirit. We ask for the Holy Spirit. You know, I've been seeing this bald eagle lately. Great sign of the Holy Spirit. I always consider the great sign of the Holy Spirit for America. That, my brothers and sisters, we need to return to our faith. We see what happened just recently with our past president, George Bush Sr., going on to his eternal reward, being reunited with his wife in heaven. They were church-going people. They went to church. We saw that. You know, we haven't seen that in a while from our presidents, going to church. You know, we haven't seen that example set before us, going to church. Somehow in the last 20, 30 years, we've gotten this idea in our head that going to church shows weakness or frailty, or that I'm a sinner, or that I think I'm a saint, or things like that. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, it's like going to the doctor's office. It's like going to, I actually would consider it more like going to the dentist, going to church. You know, nobody really wants to go. Hate to say that, but like going to the dentist, you know you need to go. But it is, for church, it's better that you go more than once or twice a year, really. I mean, especially for Catholics who need to be reconciled before you receive Holy Communion. So if you are one of those people who go to church once or twice a year, please, please, please go to reconciliation before you receive the Holy Eucharist. Before you receive our Lord in the Holy Eucharist, go to reconciliation. Ask for forgiveness for your sins. Make a good reconciliation, a good accounting of your life, and to have that room inside of you that Jesus comes into this Christmas to be clean, to be decorated with all the beauty and splendor that our God deserves. And so, my brothers and sisters, let us go right into the scripture readings. In case you're just joining us, my name is Deacon Louis Zimlick. This is the Epiphany Radio Program. We're glad you're with us here today. If you've anything else about the Catholic Church that you'd like to know about, you can go to diokzoo.org. That's the Diocese of Kalamazoo website. You can also go to holyfamilyradio.net. There's a grouping of local Catholic radio stations from Holy Family Radio in southwestern Michigan here. A lot of good radio programs. And, of course, we archive our Epiphany radio program on that radio station's website. So you can go to holyfamilyradio.net. You can contact me through that, or the diocese, or St. John Bosco in Mattawan. That's where I reside out of. That's my main parish in St. Margaret Mary's Marcellus. So let us go right into the scripture readings today. And let us first ask for God's forgiveness by saying, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our first reading is from the book of Baruch, Baruch 5, 1 through 9. It's an Old Testament reading. Baruch 5, 1 through 9. Now, this is in the Catholic Bible, so if you don't have a Catholic Bible, you can look it up online to find that reading. Jerusalem, take off your robe of mourning and misery. Put on the splendor of glory from God forever. Wrapped in the cloak of justice for God, bear on your head the mitre that displays the glory of the eternal name. For God will show all the earth your splendor. You will be named God forever. The peace of justice, the glory of God's worship. Up, Jerusalem, stand upon the heights. Look to the east and see your children gathered from the east and the west at the word of the Holy One. Rejoice that they are remembered by God. Led away on foot by their enemies, they left you. But God will bring them back to you, borne aloft in glory as on royal thrones. For God has commanded that every lofty mountain be made low, and that the age of old depths and gorges be filled to level ground, that Israel may advance secure in the glory of God, the forests and every fragrant kind of tree have overshadowed Israel at God's command. For God is leading Israel in joy by the light of his glory, with his mercy and justice for company. the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm reading is from Psalm 126. That's Psalm 126. The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. When the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, we were like men dreaming. Then our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongue with rejoicing. Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad indeed." Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the torrents in the southern desert. Those who sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. Although they go forth weeping, carrying the seed to be sown, they shall come back rejoicing, carrying their sheaves. The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. Our second reading is from Philippians 1, Philippians 1, 4 through 6, and 8 through 11. Brothers and sisters, I pray always with joy in every prayer for all of you, because of your partnership for the gospel. From the first day until now, I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the affliction of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that you love my increase, that your love may increase ever more and more in knowledge of every kind of precipitation, to discern what is of value, so that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading is from the Gospel of Luke. Luke 3, 1 through 6. That's Luke 3, 1 through 6. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of the region of Eleutheria and Trachonitis, and Lasarnas was tetrarch of Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, some beautiful readings here today. on this second Sunday of Advent. And in case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program. My name is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And if you're interested in anything about the Catholic Church or about maybe even becoming Catholic, you can go to any of your local Catholic Church. Many of them have started some rite of initiation. They call it RCIA, Rite of Christian Initiation classes. And you don't have to decide whether you want to become Catholic or not until the springtime, until before Easter. But you can learn an awful lot about the church. Most of these, they don't charge anything. And you can learn a tremendous amount about the church. And of course, some of the larger parishes will have more sophisticated programs. Some of the smaller parishes, less sophisticated, programs, but all the same teachings, you know, the core teachings of the church. And then you can decide whether you want to become Catholic, whether you want to become baptized. And if you've already been baptized, Trinitarian baptism, then there won't be any need for baptism, but you still need to receive reconciliation, go to reconciliation, and be able to receive the Holy Eucharist, have your marriage blessed. So many beautiful things that we need to return to, my brothers and sisters. And this is a great time of the year to do that, to come back to church. So hopefully, you know, all of you, you know, all of the Catholic churches will be filled this Christmas. They will be filled to overflowing. And I often think, you know, and every year there will be a few who will stay, who will come back the next week and the week after that and the week after that. But then there will be those who will fall away once again. You know, summertime will come, the events of the day, things happening, going on, you know, travel, sports and things like that. And we'll decide, you know, church takes second place. We put God in second place. Isn't that amazing? But God loves us so much. You think about that, you know, that if you, well, yes, it is bad, you know, to only show up to your parents' house, your mom and dad, or only visit your parents once a year, I don't think is right. You know, we can say our lives are busy, and we can say this is busy and that's busy, but not to go see our parents at least once a month. Or to call them, you know, I know some kids, my parents are gone on to their eternal reward. Both my mom and dad been gone for some time now. But, and I'm the youngest of eight boys. But we think about that. How often do we communicate and with our earthly parents? And then we think about our heavenly parents of you know, going to church just once a year or twice a year. And how we're missing so much, missing the whole point of believing in God, missing the whole benefit of relationship with God. I don't know about you, my brothers and sisters, but you know, they just came out with those statistics just recently about, you know, suicides and drug overdoses. And I'll tell you, we're in a great crisis in this country. And it's not just a crisis in the church. It's a crisis in humanity. There's always been crises in the church. There's always been crises in humanity too. But now today we have all of these statistics, right? Worldwide. And of course, we can all talk about, you know, that we need to do more for, you know, feeding people and helping people. But just look at how we handle mental illness in this country. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace on how we handle the elderly in this country. It's a disgrace on how we handle children and people who are drug addicts. And we just don't deal with it, my brothers and sisters. We don't deal with it. And I think in a certain way we had more courage to deal with these things when we as a society, as a culture, firmly believed in God, went to church on a regular basis, saw our leaders going to church on a regular basis. It gave us a certain amount of hope, but it also gave us a certain amount of security in our own minds to know that, you know what, we're trying to do the right thing. So, my brothers and sisters, if you come to church this Christmas, you know, try to come a week or two before Christmas. Come today. Go to church today. You know, there's still Mass this afternoon. There's Catholic churches have Mass at 1 o'clock and 6 o'clock tonight. But go to reconciliation. Clean house. Clean house. You know, people say, well, I haven't committed any more sins. I said, well, how many times have you swore? How many? That's a problem I have. I have to, every time I go to reconciliation, I have to confess that I'm swearing. Saying bad words. People say, well, how can a deacon say bad words? I says, have you driven lately? People cut you off in traffic. The word just comes out. Blah! Right? That's part of us. I don't want that to happen. I don't like that to happen. You know, you have situations, you have instances, different things. You have thoughts. You know, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned through my, in my thoughts and in my words and what I have done and what I have failed to do. We confess this at every Mass. We ask for forgiveness. And the main reason why we ask for forgiveness is so that we can receive the Holy Eucharist worthily. That we can receive Holy Communion worthily in some way, shape, or form by asking for this forgiveness. Lord have mercy. Christ have mercy. Lord have mercy. I sing the Kyrie. I love to sing Kyrie eleison. I love to sing that. That Greek takes us all the way back, right? Takes us all the way back 2,000 years to our Greek brothers and sisters, to Aristotle, to Plato. Think about that. They even had this belief, you know, this higher understanding of what life is about. Not just about money or things, but about who I am as a person. What do I do as a person? Do I pray? Am I asking for supernatural help? You know, if we're sick or we're suffering from something, go to reconciliation. Get anointed. Get anointed with the oil of the sick, the anointing of the sick by a priest. And he will pray with you. Jesus will pray with you. So for our first reading today, the catechism doesn't have anything on it, but you can see that it is talking about John the Baptist, right? Talking about us reconciling with ourselves. And our second reading from Philippians, it is the prayer of Paul the Apostle, par excellence, which reveals to us how the divine solicitude for all the churches get to inspire Christian prayer. Very much about prayer this week. Praying, 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 praying. And then from our gospel reading, John the Baptist preaches a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. See? So before the Lord comes, before Jesus comes to us, we must repent. Sometimes it's done the other way around. Through God's grace and mercy, Jesus comes to us and then we repent. But we need to prepare. We are grown-ups, hopefully. Try to grow up. I'm 59. I still haven't grown up. Still have a lot of work to do. But I continue to work on it. Continues to still have a lot of failings, especially in my thinking, in my mind. Not disciplining my mind. keeping my eyes on the Lord, and not on other things. Things that don't help me, things that are bad for me. But focusing in on the mind and the love of Jesus Christ and what Jesus has planned for me and what he has planned for you. So this is, and it's also the thing to remember too, that not going to church is a sin, my brothers and sisters. It is a sin. To ignore God. To ignore God. Not to worship God. The God that brought you into this world. It is a sin. And I would say even in a certain kind of way, it's even a sin not to visit your parents. Right? Or at least call them on the phone. Check in on them. See if they're okay. You know, I understand there's problems and people have had problems in their childhood and things like that. But it's also time to forgive too. It's a time of forgiveness. And I'm not asking that things would be perfect with your parents. But you ask for forgiveness. Ask God to help you to forgive at some level. At some level to forgive. To ask yourself, what did they go through as children? What happened to them? What abuse or trauma did they have to deal with that has spilled over onto their lives? And am I letting that spill over onto my life today? How do I treat my children? How do I talk to my children? Do I cuss and swear at them? Do I yell and scream at them? Do I scare them and terrify them? That's not being a good parent. That's not. And somehow we get that vision of God by the same way that we parent. See? We think God is mean, so we're mean. Or we're mean, and so we think God is mean. God is not. God is pure love. I think sometimes we resent that fact. That God is this pure love. That God does offer all this forgiveness. That God offers all of this comfort. And all that we have to do is surrender. See? Because to receive that love, we have to say, I want that love. Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, love me. Jesus, teach me how to love. And finally this, my brothers and sisters, we talk about theology of the body, which a lot of the problems in our culture surround about how we treat our bodies, how we treat other people's bodies. You know, whether we're, you know, using ourselves and using other people instead of loving them, truly loving them in a real way. And so this theology of the body, and there's a big write-up on this on the EWTN website, which is EWTN.com, and you can type in theology of the body. And one of the audiences of St. Pope John Paul II, this audience on the 13th of February, 1980, the Holy Father reexamines our first parents' original innocence as their nature was originally graced and how it affected their relationship with each other and the nuptial meaning of their bodies as male and female. Very beautiful. So my brothers and sisters, may God bless you and keep you, and may you try to get to Mass this weekend or next, and definitely try to get to reconciliation. And we'll be praying for you and hope to see you again soon. May Almighty God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you all, and happy second Sunday of Advent. God bless you. We love you.